is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, June 18th, and it's a lovely 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we continue our usual series, our usual Tuesday series, with Kahun Anku Sarah, who is Reverend Cleveland Enius III, who has his degree as a critical... Aaron, this is where you come in.
Theologist.
Critical theologist. He has a PhD in critical theology, means that he scrutinizes the various religion. And with that scrutiny of the various religions, right, they have concluded that the origin of Christianity is an African religion. And with these scrolls, these lost books that they have canonized, right? And I'm going to explain which all books they have canonized, right? They have a African theology, right? That is similar to the Christian theology, the Judeo-Christian theology that we typically have in the Bahamas, but it's slightly different because they have some doctrines that we Protestants tend not to embrace, right? These apocryphal texts they tend to use, right? And Shabaka Stone texts they tend to use in his Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. And that's the name of the whole religion, the Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, where they have a Bashtish. I pronounce that right? Bashesh. Again, it's again better. Bashesh. And throw the Bashesh name one time.
He's Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma.
Yes. And before we start our critical analogy today on a concept, right, I want him to give a narrative of his Bashesh, right, just so we could start it and so people could Google and do their own research on the religion itself, the leadership itself, and what's the concept of it. So welcome again, Anku Sarah.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having us here. It's always a pleasure to be here with my family, my cousins, them. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sarah. I'm the head priest of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah here in the Bahamas. And we are under the auspices of the Holy Coptic Church International, led by, as Brother Nuri was saying, our Coptic Pope, also known as our Bashesh. Bashesh is a word that just, it translates into a head scribe. When you say a sesh, that's another way of saying a scribe. And he is known as Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma. So on Facebook, if you look up A.J. Varma, V-A-R-M-A-H, he's from Liberia. Born in Liberia, but he grew up in the United States with his mother. And then he's been back and forth between the United States and Liberia and really just traveling the world. As a person who ultimately has had the opportunity to sit under some very great teachers, whereby he was able, as we're doing now in the Holy Coptic Church, he was able to look at various scriptures in the languages that they were actually written in. That's very important because it truly gives a proper context to these scriptures, and it gives a proper appreciation for what was going on when these scriptures were written, who was actually in the vicinity or within quote-unquote earshot, right, of these scriptures, because all of that changes our perspective today on how we are looking at, for example, the Bible. I saw a post recently where they had a little circle on the entire globe, and they say everything happening in the Bible happened in this one little circle, right? And I just smiled. Because ultimately, when we look at the perspective of the area of what they refer to as the Middle East, that clearly is not the world, right? That clearly is not indicative of every indigenous person's story on the planet. We could not have everyone's story coming from what they're referring to as the Middle East. So there has to be more to what we understand as religion, culture, salvation, etc. And so what our Basesh has been able to do, before you even can be referred to as a Basesh, you have to have proven yourself as a Basesh. So he was writing from the early 2000s. He would have been writing to the point now where we have published over 70 plus books, but there are many more that have been written that are still yet to be published. These books range or come about based on the questions, just like how we dialogue on a weekly basis. We also dialogue with our Basesh. And when we realize a need for a particular topic to be fully unpacked or unpacked more than we could do in a conversation, books come out of that. So we have the very first book that would have been written is a book, Solar Biology or Lunar Astrology, right? And the basis of Atonism or Atmanism or this caressed consciousness, it is based on the reality of what we refer to as the Dendera. The Dendera is the oldest cosmological, theological map, star map of the universe, of the galaxy, right? This is something that they have today in the Louvre in France. Napoleon took 167 scientists into the area that they're calling Egypt today, and they pillaged, right? And so one of the things that they pillaged was this map of the stars, of the sky. Now, you'll see this in Scripture in the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 32, where they talk about Maseroth, right? When you look up this word, Maseroth, in the book of Job, chapter 32, verse 38, it is talking, they say, about the 12 constellations, right? That's important because the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 14, is making reference to us using the celestial bodies as a means by which we are able to know what season we are in, know what time it is as a people, and ultimately be able to chart our destiny based on our narrative. And so what the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah is ultimately doing is assisting those who need it and want what we are teaching in this way with being able to find that original narrative that we see when we look into the languages of the scriptures and thereby are able to have these type of conversations.
You mentioned languages.
Yeah.
But when you speak, you're speaking English, but you also cite a type of dialect, a type of Aramaic type language. What type of language is that?
So when we, if you do the research, for example, let's say the Old Testament is in Hebrew, right? But if you do the research on what they're calling Hebrew, you will see they talk about a paleo Hebrew, and this is something you can literally Google right now. And if you go to the origin of the paleo Hebrew, it ultimately takes you back to hieroglyphs. This is something that the linguists are saying. That's important because when we look at this original language, was ultimately a language that reflected the actual manifestations of nature. So when you look at the hieroglyphs, you will see birds, you will see trees, you will see people, you will see aspects of life, right, that have been codified into what is being called a language today. All right. It's not, it's still by quote unquote Egyptologists, only a portion of it has actually been translated. They talk about the Rosetta Stone and being able to translate portions of text, whether it's on the walls or in leather scrolls or what have you, and they're able to disseminate. So you have great teachers like Dr. Ben Yakunin, who is with the ancestors now. He transitioned, but one of his students, Ashra Kwesi. I don't know if you're familiar with Ashra Kwesi, but Ashra Kwesi would have done a lot of field work with Dr. Ben. They would have traveled the Nile River. They is over 4,000 miles, and they would have been able to travel much of the Nile River and the various, they would say, temples or buildings or structures, and be able to look at these things utilizing an African eye. So when you go back and listen to the lectures of a Dr. Ben, he's talking about an Immaculate Conception that took place thousands of years before you ever had a Jesus story, right? Just as an example, the reality of what has been done to us is that we've been cut off from information that ultimately would allow for us to use our brains and use our power as a people to do for ourselves. We've effectively been cut off from a divinity that is within us. And so just this Sunday, we had a sermon that I was privileged to share, where we talked about why the Messiah, his main message was the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? He after he was baptized, went into the wilderness, and then he began to teach in Galilee, he had the message of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But what's interesting about that is John the Baptist was teaching it before him, all right? So it wasn't a new message he was bringing. He wasn't bringing something that had not been heard before. He was bringing a version of it that was now more complete. This is where the at-one-ism comes in, this reality of us having portions of a doctrine that had been taught for many years now being completed because we're in a sacred moment of time.
There seems to be a proliferation of black religion. Mm-hmm. You, in your religion, mm-hmm. your Christianity, you worship a black Messiah, or you acknowledge a black Messiah.
And let's be clear. I'm glad you said acknowledge.
Yes, I changed the word.
Yeah,
I understand.
All praises to the Most High.
Yes, all praises to the Most High. Yeah. I don't want us to even go into detail of that or give a summary on that. Mm. Because in Christianity, what I embrace, the Messiah, Jesus, and the Most High is the same.
Mm.
Right, God is the same as Jesus. God turned flesh. He prayed to himself gave him some blessings, and then he had the Holy Spirit that he prayed to say, come in, that be with us. So he left us and then left himself here on earth at the same time, because he's a Trinity.
Mm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that colors is a major thing in your religion, and Christianity has no space for color because God comes for us all different races. But it seems as if this black Messiah, or I think you use true African eyes, and I assume African meaning black, right? And mm-hmm. they're using that interchangeably, mm-hmm. African and black, right? Mm-hmm. That you want to introspect, analyze the sacred books through African eyes, or for my word, or for this debate, through black eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
God is a spirit.
Mm.
Is God a spirit? Can we limit God to a spirit? Did God say he was a spirit? Who said God is a spirit?
Right. So we in the African theology always understood that there is no, and it's funny you mention it, because we actually talked about, I love to send you the sermon from Sunday. We actually reference the reality that in the African theology, there is no separation between the physical and the spiritual, insofar as if that physical body has no spirit, it doesn't exist. If that spirit has no physical body, it doesn't exist. They are interdependent on each other. So there's no spirit floating around that is ultimately grabbing bodies and saying to those bodies whatever it wants to say. The spirit or the breath is necessary in order for the personality of that body to be expressed. So when you meet a person, I've never heard it, and y'all could correct me if you've heard it before, but I've never met people who say, boy, I like that person's soul. But you've heard, I like that person's spirit. Am I correct in this? Right? So the fact that you could appreciate a person's spirit, or what we know as the personality, we say the ka, this divine African spirit, amongst we Africans, it's important that we say that, because every other group of people have their own narrative. If we go amongst the Hindus and we look at their hierarchy of divine beings, they look like the people that they're ultimately reaching out to. If you go amongst the Europeans and you look amongst their divine hierarchy, that divine hierarchy looks like the very people of that particular nation. It should be no different for the Africans.
Except on Putin's internet. Good morning, cousin Putin. Yeah, yeah.
So Putin threw a monkey wrench into the narrative, because he effectively showed the pictures of Africans that ultimately would have given birth to today what we know as Christianity, right? Each group of people, the highest form of worship is worship of self and kind. Now, to worship oneself and kind, that's in the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother so that your days could be long in the land that I gave you. So if everyone followed that commandment, everyone doesn't live in the same land. Everybody doesn't have the same mother and father. So if we're all honoring our mothers and our fathers, then the white people will be honoring the white ancestors. The Indians would be honoring the Indian ancestors. The African or the blacks would be honoring the African or the black ancestors. If we all looked at it from that perspective, we could coexist in an ecology that allowed for us to all respect each other and all thrive based on the environment. When I say environment, I don't just mean the land, but I mean the actual scriptures and the actual foods and the actual accommodations necessary for us to reach our fullest potential. But when you have a colonizing spirit that tells every group of people that you have to see God in this way, it has to look like me, the white man. It has to eat like me, the white man. Right? And the white woman and the white child. And it has to
speak like me
and has to be educated like me. Now you have a situation where people who are not white people are not seeing themselves in the image and likeness of God, even though Genesis 1, 26 and 27 said we were made in the image and after the likeness of God. So if I am not in the image and after the likeness of God because I don't look like a white person, guess what I start to do? I start to make myself white. So now you see the proliferation of bleaching creams. Now you see the proliferation of people turning their woolly hair into straight hair. Now you see the proliferation of people taking their four-finger nose and making it into a two-finger nose. You understand? You see people changing their image to try to look like the dominant culture, to try to look like God.
Aaron, you ever heard the term critical race theory?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a definition for that? So I want to ask Uncle something.
I can be honest with you. It's wild. You know what critical race theory is?
Go ahead.
Talking about race. Authentically.
Mm.
As opposed to the ways that white supremacist systems talk about race.
Right.
That's all it is. Critical race theory would make you think that, oh, this is some academic, high academic, scholarly discourse. Critical race theory is a term that they had to create because people refused to tell the truth about race and the Africans' experience in America. They have textbooks in America that students are opening right now that say, Sally enjoyed slavery.
Mm.
Sally every day smiled when the sun came up because she could go and pick cotton with her friends.
Mm.
The textbooks like that right now that students right now. He said some of their school systems are different. They're reading that right now. Mm-hmm. So critical race theory was devised because they had to find a way to force white people in America to acknowledge the truth about enslavement of Africans, enslavement of indigenous people, mm-hmm. the transatlantic slave trade, and the way that the West became what it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a definition. Good. Now I'll come back to you, mm-hmm. Uncle. It seems that you have applied critical race theory to Christianity and carved out Christianity.
How so? What? Let me challenge.
You're blackening my Christ.
No, your black Christ was whitewashed, because there's a description of your Christ in the Book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Why we keep ignoring that is beyond me. Because we say we believe in the Bible, then the Bible gives you a description of the Messiah, and then when you apply that description to the Messiah, now we're blocking him. We didn't do that. That was already in there.
In fact, Nuri, if I could read a text that's been sitting here for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Any religion that uses race, ethnicity, and social status as the grounds to justify their faith in superiority is a waste of time and energy. It is a false faith. Black people are not special, just as whites, Asians, and Latinos are also not special. Christianity is a false twisting of holiness. If I could...
Didn't God have a chosen people?
Put that aside.
Didn't the Messiah come for his own?
What Mr. Enia said just now, there is a description. Telling you what the person that they are
and that ain't the only
looks like.
Yeah.
But I want to say this. In the books written by Africans, Africans then become special. Like in the conversation interrogating what Africans wrote in books written by Africans, then Africans become special in that context.
Right.
When we're talking about the Aztecs and their spiritual and religious beliefs, their cultural and historic heritage, they become special in that context.
You know what's so interesting about this conversation? When it comes to human beings, we're oblivious to, or we're reluctant to see this reality of people loving themselves. But when it comes to dogs and horses, we could have a whole, what's the name of the show? The where they look at the dogs and the pedigree and...
Oh, the best in show,
right,
yeah,
right. For horses, when it comes to keeping a certain breed of a particular horse,
purebred.
When it comes to roosters, because I've been in the South in the United States where they have these shows where they actually are very meticulous about making sure they keep a particular gene strong in a particular animal. It's fine for that. But when it comes to human beings, we throw that out the window. That doesn't make any sense anymore.
Mr. Nuri, I want to follow up. The texter followed up mm-hmm. and the conversation. The texter says, your guest doesn't understand scripture. He claims to read, and he goes on a lot of assumptions and internet rhetoric. Child, obey your parents, that your days may be long. He's referencing that quote, the scripture. The texter says this was in reference to holy, principled, and God-fearing parents shaping, raising, and guiding their children. Thus, if the children do not go contrary to the parents, they might depart from evil and their days may be long. I want to respond to that first before you engage as the critical theologist, right? Mr. Enius is the expert in this discussion. I can respond to you first, texter. What Mr. Enius offered to you was an alternate or comparative, just to be polite, interpretation of that scripture. What Enia said was that this is a reference to understanding, connecting to your lineage. Our mothers and fathers in this instance, in this context, means our forebears, right? Ancestors, not necessarily our specific mother and father. In our modern interpretation of this scripture, though, and I want to say, I say modern because I want you to open your eyes and look across the Bahamas right now. The interpretation that you offered has been assumed and accepted by many people has led to parents creating easily molded and controlled children. Parents don't realize it is a system. There is a system that forces them to create easily molded and controlled children so that they could be easily controlled enslaved people.
Yeah.
simple. I now defer to the expert texter, and I want to reiterate to you that we're speaking to Dr. Cleveland Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara, who has a PhD in critical theology.
Right. So before we even address Exodus, let's talk about where Exodus came from, since this person doesn't think that we don't know what we're talking about. If we go to Acts chapter 7, verse 22, Moses, who they attribute the first five books of the Bible to, and we could have that discussion too, because that's not necessarily exactly how that plays out. But for the sake of this conversation and for the sake of what a person who thinks we don't know what we're talking about is talking about, they say Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, right? Exodus is one of those five books. But this same Moses, in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, Moses was learned of in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. So if he was learned...
That in the Bible?
Oh, Acts 7. Please open up so you could read it.
No, go ahead.
Because if I read it, then they think I'm making it up. The people think I'm making up stuff. Open your Bible and read it. Acts 7 and 22. And Moses was learned in all, not some, not a little bit, but all the wisdom, right? This word wisdom, they say in the Greek, is sophia, right? This is where the word philosophia, those who love wisdom, comes from, right? This Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptian and was mighty in words and in deeds, okay? This same Moses then would have been writing these laws that he was ultimately given by this same African or Egyptian God. Let's go again. We've read it before, but let's look at Hosea, right? Chapter 13, right? Verse 4. Yet I am the Lord, because this is who gave Moses the laws now, right? I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. And thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. That's Hosea. That's the person who say we don't know the Bible. So I just giving you Bible quotes right now. Hosea 13 and 4. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Before we even get again to the Exodus, let's go now to Genesis chapter 2, and let's look at verse 4, where it makes a mention of, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Why is that important to Exodus chapter 20, all right, where it makes reference to honor thy mother and thy father? Because in this case, This man and this woman, they refer to as heaven. The word heaven in the African theology was Nut. This word, this god Nut. When they drew her, they would draw her as the canopy of heaven. And underneath her would be the man they called Geb. And in between Geb, you would have Shu, which represented the wind. That's what this is making reference of. Now, they want to hide it from you and call it the heavens and the earth, because these were the Bible redactors who were putting these records together from the perspective of the Greco-Roman, right? So now if we look at the book of Exodus, all right, chapter 20, verse 12, when it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It is within the context of the African, because the person who wrote it was actually learned in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians, and the Lord that gave him these records was that Lord from Egypt that they mentioned in Hosea chapter 13, verse 4, and he said, don't have no other gods beside me. I'm making nothing up.
Before we go to the callers, is God the creator. I'm trying to think about it.
Okay.
God the creator.
Mm-hmm.
Be specific, because I understand the distinction. Is God the creator a soul? Or, and for the next wording, is God the creator a spirit? I have my own.
Throw a third one. Does God the creator have mass? Does he have physical mass?
That's what I'm trying to get at, right? Spirits have mass. They take up space, right? And if they take up space, they have to be created.
Right.
So God himself cannot be a created force because he creates everything else. So is God a spirit or a soul? Because those concepts are things that have been created.
Not to take away from your question, but you were created and you create things. You were created and you create things.
That's the point I'm making. If we go to Genesis 2 and 7, right? The Lord God, because you're talking about this creator, formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. Well, how would you breathe into someone's nostrils if you don't have lungs?
Mm-hmm.
If you have lungs, they must be in a body. Right? If you're producing the air that is supposed to be, according to this verse, breathed into the nostrils, right? The breath of life. And then it says, man became a living soul. So this Adam in this reference, or Zakar, became a living soul. Was he a spirit? They're calling him a living soul, mm-hmm. but he's a physical man.
Mm-hmm.
So was this person a spirit walking around? Or was this a physical soul, the living soul? See what they've done to us. And this is why we say, looking at it with African eyes, we, the Africans, understood that your physical body is the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
The physical world is this table here. You understand? This microphone. That's the physical world. But you have a spirit. You have a personality within the physical body that can have a soul. All bodies do not have a soul because Psalm 23 says what? He restoreth my soul. So you could actually be in a state where you're in your body and you've lost your soul. You've lost your connection to the actual vibration of the universe. You've lost your connection to these creators that breathe the breath of life into you so you could become a living soul. So if there's a living soul, there must be a dead soul. They must be those who don't have access to this actual.
The lines blinking. But I'm going to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned soul.
Mm-hmm.
The soul, and I can use this interchangeably, even though, I can use it interchangeably, soul and spirit are the same thing at this present time. When this physical body has transitioned or dies,
right,
put in the grave, mm-hmm. what happened to my living soul?
Your living soul would be transported or continues to live through your children or your works.
I mean, I don't go to heaven.
Where did the Messiah say heaven was?
Within.
Luke 17:21. Yeah. The kingdom of heaven does not come by way of observation. The kingdom of heaven is within. Luke.
Where my consciousness go?
Your consciousness goes within the collective consciousness. That's why we're talking about a caress consciousness. There is a collective consciousness that your individual experiences are added to. This is seen when Elijah gave a double portion of his spirit to Elisha. That double portion of the spirit makes reference to all of the experiences that Elisha had. He now was being taught, or the consciousness of Elijah was being added to his consciousness, whereby he had a double portion of the spirit. He had a double portion of the experiences. That consciousness is kept alive in the blood. That consciousness moves from generation to generation through the blood. That's why we could be saved by the blood.
I'm going to call this, but I'm still trying to find out about me going to heaven and you're not getting to where I want.
Because the point, and this is why we talked about it Sunday, when the Messiah was saying the kingdom of heaven was at hand, he used the word kingdom. And he was making a reference to what was said.
You sound like Miles Monroe with his kingdom again.
Well, Miles Monroe was teaching you scripture. You understand? In the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 44, when Daniel is making reference to the kingdoms that would be destroyed before the kingdom of heaven was on earth, they were making reference to a place on the planet where people of like mind, people who had a kingdom understanding, if you want to use that, or a understanding of these laws of Ma'at, which is what Moses was actually writing about when they took portions of it and made it the Ten Commandments. People who were able to live by these laws, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That kingdom was on earth. That's not me saying it. The Messiah was saying it. The Messiah was saying, come, let us gather. When he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that word hand is a word that means to draw near, to come together, to gather. I have some callers now. I've been having them on hold for a bit, and they call.
And that gathering took place in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9, when all these people gathered in white waving palms. Go ahead. Let's go to the callers.
Producer, pass the caller through for me, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nui. Good morning, Anku and Aaron.
Morning.
Good morning, brother.
You know, yeah, Anku, you know, I was listening. And, you know, I know what you're saying because some of these things I've learned actually through reading and just meditation. So it relates to Mr. Nui, right? I thought... I'm familiar with Astro Crazy, Anku. I thought Anku had already answered your question when it came to the spirit. I explained it on the radio before. A spirit wouldn't exist without flesh. And so Anku cleared it up. And he also talked about the progeny carrying on. As far as your consciousness, Mr. Nui, the transhumanist wants to upload your consciousness to an AI robot now, or vicariously autonomous robots, right? But as it relates to the blackness, well, I wouldn't even want to comment on the text, though, because the text is very limited. All right, you were saying about the black people. So what I'm saying is, Aaron, there are textbooks in America that specifically during the 70s, 80s, and even 90s would try to infuriate the black people and indoctrinated the white people to believe that. Now, we know that the Israel, Africa, et cetera, that's the Sun Belt. So naturally, people would be dark-skinned. So why are we so... I mean, some things could just be solved by common sense. And as it relates to... Well, Uncle already explained the doctrine of Immaculate Conception. You cannot. Why would there be a spirit without flesh? Can you give narratives? I've read the Muslim-Christian dialogue and explain to CNUE that Jesus Christ is not God, because that's blasphemous for you to be saying that. You have to understand. And thank you, Uncle, for trying to explain the transliteration, the deviance in the text. And also, you know, if Cain married Awan. And then in the book of Jubilees or the Lost Books of Eden, I noticed that they used a different name. They said his sister name was Luala or whatever. But Cain disobeyed his parents by marrying Awan. All right? So, I mean, it was going on. These things are being done. We could actually use the scripture to disprove and prove a lot of things. And we could say, well, God rewarded David, who was a murderer. And we could do a lot of things like that. So thank you, Anku. Bless up.
Bless up.
I have one more call, Anku. Let me patch that too. Please patch that caller through for me. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
You know, and there is a term called presbyopia. I think it deals with, as you get older, your eyes fade and you're unable to see things up close. And it's just a normal occurrence. And it's a sign to let you know that, guess what? You ain't gonna be looking around and seeing things for too long, so appreciate the fact that you're going to have to move on somewhere. Mm-hmm. But have you been busy with the powers? I talk about the power of awareness, clarity, creation, and balance. You will have no problem when you lose these faculties as they begin to fade away. And you would feel so secure in knowing that you know where you're going, because I carry my ancestors within me, particularly my mother. There's no way on this planet a white man could have put us in slavery, and when I die, look at this, you're a white man, they put me back in slavery. Something got to be fundamentally wrong with that. You know, that's just the way. It just doesn't tick. But we caught up in this quagmire, and a lot of people just feel, and Uncle Boy, I really appreciate you sharing, because it resonates with me, and I'm looking forward to listening to you I might be able to sponsor the show one of these days, and you could be...
I'll appreciate that. I need some sponsorship.
Yes, we'd appreciate that.
So thanks for talking, man.
Yes.
Have me smile. Thank you very much, caller.
Well, that was a wonderful call. I got some text there on the opposite side of the spectrum.
Yeah, put the text through. Put the text through.
Sub-Saharan Africa, where the Negroes lived, had no written language, so where is it written? By whom and when? That's a text.
Sub-Saharan Africa had written language.
Of course we had written language.
Let me read the second part.
We see it all through Black Panther. They showed the written language there.
I mean, we didn't even have
to... And had the genesis of the Egyptian
language. Another text about Wakanda. We didn't even have to go there. The text goes on to say, critical race theory was created in the States by 15 black folks and is about slavery and never mentions once the abolitionist movement, which resulted in the U.S. Civil War and freed the slaves. Dear texter, I just, without being perceived as being rude or what did the Jamaicans say, feisty? Mm-hmm.
Feisty.
That's not how they pronounce it.
Oh, feisty then.
Yes, thank you. These texts that you've shared today suggest or prove why critical race theory is necessary and what it is. It is simply the truth. Don't act like somebody created it, Critical race theory is an advocacy that demands that the truth is told, as opposed to telling blatant, outright, and at this point, embarrassing lies about things that can be verified across the world, different languages, different cultures, different generations of people. That's all critical race theory is.
I want to talk about meditation. Right, you concentrate. You mentioned earlier that you have to meditate in general. In the Asian culture, they have this thing called Om. That must be some kind of power in that, depending on how pitch and tonation I do it.
Did you have to order that on Amazon?
The Om
from the Asian people. The Om. I mean, did you have to order just now to use it, or did it just naturally?
I use it.
Did the sound just naturally come out of your body? Like sound is always naturally come out of your body.
Intonation and a number of other peoples have that similar meditation or a similar pitch, right? Just that I know that the Tibetan monks tend to embrace this. This is them. They levitating thing. They have some kind of power. We in this westernized world say, man, you're doing witchcraft. This arm would give them power. Is there any reference inside this Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, these canonized books? Do they mention any arm?
They do mention a tone that's older than the Om, which is own, A-U-N. And that own is a vibration that the universe is ultimately on at all times. Earth has a biorhythm. Earth vibrates at a particular rate or rhythm. That own sound or vibration, you'll hear babies referencing it, and you call it baby prattle. It's the gaga gugu. Mm-hmm. They're remembering that sound from within the womb, because the sound that they're hearing first and foremost is the heartbeat of their mother. All right. And if you even look at how a baby is in the womb at particular times of gestation, they resemble a heart, right? And they also resemble an ear. All right. And this ear, which is the root of the word hair, which is the root of the word heart, is related to how this baby is ultimately being created. Because you have what's called tones, rhythms, and materialization. The tones and the rhythms assist in the materialization. I'm using the baby because it's something I think most people can relate to, right? When we acknowledge the first existence of a baby, let's say a woman, she misses a period, and she now wants to know what's going on. She takes a pregnancy test. Tests say, yeah, you're pregnant. But it's not until, for many people, you go into that office and they put that, I'm sure you've experienced it, put that ultrasound, and you hear that heartbeat that you recognize, okay, there's a life now amidst, within the womb. This is what Genesis 2 and 4 was talking about when they talk about Nut, the generations of the heavens. The womb of heaven is what the woman actually carries. And in order for that baby to be placed in that womb, there has to be sexual intercourse. And sexual intercourse, ultimately, for the ejaculation to take place, there has to be a particular rhythm and a particular heat and friction that takes place for that particular germ, the sperm cell, to now be shot into the woman and
to find the egg,
etc. Even before that, though, the woman is on a particular note that would determine whether the sperm with the X chromosomes or the sperm with the Y chromosomes have a better chance of fertilizing the egg, which is why in the African theology, the woman actually determines the sex of the child based on that point, right? It's another show. This sound of the vibration of the universe is seen in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. You understand
and
that
then
word?
The part they miss out is the word is sound and sound is frequency.
Right. And so that word, again, within the context of the African theology, was the word kaunfin. This in, so there's a ein principle, there's a aun principle, there are different principles. And now if you go on YouTube right now and you look up various chants, you have Gregorian chants, mm-hmm. you have these, each group of people, the Hindus aren't the only people who chant. The Jews chant, there are certain Christians who chant, but yet we don't, as a African people, have the knowledge of how we originally chanted, which allowed for us to become a medium. This is because you asked about meditation. Now, meditation is in your Bible, in the book of Psalms 5, verse 1, Psalms 19, 14, Psalms 49, 3. It talks about Psalms 104. I'm going to reference Psalms 104 because this is one of the Psalms that Akhenaten is responsible for writing. Psalms 104, verse 34 reads, "My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord." What is meditation doing in the book of Psalms? Well, the book of Psalms, what is Psalms? A psalm is a song. A psalm is a vibration. A psalm goes back to the reality of the fact that it takes tones, rhythms, to create what we call materialization. Everything around us is vibrating on a particular level. But to get back to that original sound of creation, or that deep sound that they're making reference to, it can actually be seen on the scale for the musicians out there, within the scale of D major, if I'm not mistaken. I'll look it up. But it's an actual sound that you can actually find on a keyboard. Okay. You understand?
But Murray, okay, you're an Anglican. Mm-hmm. When's the last time you've been to church?
2 weeks ago.
Good.
When last time you been to church?
Last week.
You been to church last week?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I fish it.
Booyah! Uh-huh.
The Anglican experience.
Was any earthquake or anything happened?
No, but it was food. I can be honest. And okay. I want to say thank you to St. Barnabas family.
I know some kind they of welcoming. Happening.
There was food. There was mangoes.
But in
the Anglican service.
They're chanting.
Yeah, and you can feel it.
Right.
It's the same thing.
And it's different. So what the Holy Coptic Church is advocating, that everybody be able to chant in their own tone.
Okay, yeah, I want to talk about that, but let me go to this caller, because sure. I know this caller being calling in and out. Go ahead, caller.
We have 6 minutes left.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, caller. Call a girl once. Call a girl twice. I try to include you, caller, but you ain't coming through. Okay, then. Is there such a thing as a chosen people? And I mentioned that because the Jews say they're chosen. They're a special group.
And they are chosen.
And then they have a scripture where they're saying you are a what type of people again?
Possibility. Oh, wait, that's
no.
A peculiar.
A peculiar race, a peculiar group, mm-hmm. right? Chosen people. Mm-hmm. Can Africans be chosen people?
Sure. Of course we're chosen. We're chosen by our ancestors.
Or the chosen beget punishment.
When the chosen, when people use this word chosen loosely, to be chosen means that you are an example of what it takes to be at one with the divinity. So when you talk about Buddha, when you talk about Jesus or Yahshua, when you talk about the Dalai Lama even, right? Mm-hmm. These are people who came with a message, and the message was not worship me. Mm-hmm. The message was let us become one. Let us be at one with the Creator. Mm-hmm. All praises to the Most High. Our understanding as a people was that, no, I'm going to worship this man. I'm going to worship Buddha. I'm going to worship Jesus. I'm going to worship... The Messiah never said
worship
to believe in me, say believe on me. Believe mm-hmm. on the example. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This I am principle is Exodus 3, 14, and 15. He was saying, I am an example. And because I am an example, I've been chosen to give you that example. Mm-hmm. And then when a people live that way of life, they become chosen to be an example.
Modern day example. Look at the United States of America. Every day they say we are the chosen one.
Right.
We are the example for how you're supposed to live in the free world.
Right.
We are example of democracy and freedom.
Let me squeeze this call in. Caller, sure. Keep on calling and hanging up. So I'm going to do my best to get you, caller. Mm-hmm. Go ahead there, producer. Go ahead, caller. Me? I try and get you. Yes, caller. You do now.
Is that me?
Yes, you. That's you.
Oh, godly day to start. You know, wait so long with you and brother Uncle and Aaron Neary.
Namaste.
I can't hear you over the telephone.
Don't worry, just go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Brother Uncle, okay, you know. Brother Uncle.
Hey, the master.
What I want to ask you, right?
Yes, sir.
Here it is. You have A, and you have 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both of them are not what you would call feminine, right?
You said A and 1?
A and 1.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Say it again?
I'm listening.
It is. Now, the Bible says, speak of good and evil, or how I should put this. Basically, good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's speaking of spirit, right?
I'm listening.
Now, I want to be sure, so I could pose my question.
I can't
right
say
way.
Yes, because I'm not sure what you're asking. So I'm just trying to understand what you're saying, then I'll answer. Go ahead.
Okay, some people, the Bible speak of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So you got, oh, Lord, I hope I could get this right. It's slipping away from me.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, if you have good and evil, why is it that some people say, my Christian got away from me. I got to call you back.
No worries.
Hey, no problem.
But the first time you see good and evil, it is referenced as a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about a tree of good and evil. And what they're not making reference to is that the scripture was actually written in a language called tree. And one of it was, when I say tree, it looked like tree. It's called Ates, A-T-E-S. And it was making reference to that which was balanced and unbalanced in order to maintain peace, mm-hmm. in order to maintain
absolutely. The text here says, in reference to your analysis on restoring the soul, it says, not true. When you restore something, that thing has to exist. It is simply in a damaged state, thus requiring restoration. The text says, I'm so afraid for our young men who do not have analytical minds and will accept whatever is fair to them. Text, I too am concerned, because as soon as you said that, I thought, I did a computer programming. You restock, and then some people call it restoring. Mm-hmm. You restore the pantry because it's empty.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There you go. You end with that. Restore the pantry because it's empty. Uncle, you have the last 2 seconds.
Thank you again, my brother, for allowing us to share. And I thank you for the callers and the text. And we'll be back next week. Thank you.
This has been God in Reading the AM with C.A. Newry. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. Have a wonderful day.